To begin this lesson, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 40. This will be our jumping off point for today. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" This last phrase, "be saved from this perverse generation," sounds very similar to that to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which says, "You should not be conformed to this world." In fact, it's very similar, but if you look at earlier texts, especially that from directly from the Greek, it shows to mean something different. This phrase really means, "let yourself be saved," or literally, "to save yourself." Here's one of the many occurrences in the Bible where God explicitly commands us to take our own part in our salvation. Everyone, regardless of their status as a Christian or non-Christian, is given that choice of salvation. The choice lies between the easy and temporarily pleasing allure of this world and the everlasting benefits of salvation with God in heaven. To further understand this dilemma, I'm going to give you two examples from the Bible of characters who were given this dilemma and made their choice. The first of these is the account of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. If you'll turn with me there, we'll read about his story. Beginning in verse 25. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." The Philippian jailer experienced the power of God, and he heard the message from Paul about what he must do. He made the decision to be saved, unlike the next character that we're going to be discussing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24, where we read about Felix the procrastinator. Starting in verse 22. "But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, 'When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case.' So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you.' Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound." Like the Philippian jailer, Felix heard the gospel from Paul, but unlike him, he did not choose salvation. Both of these men had an equal opportunity and an equal ability to attain salvation, but it all came down to choice. The Philippian jailer chose salvation, but Felix didn't. We have that same choice today. The most important choice that any individual can make is whether or not to become a Christian. Becoming a Christian means putting on Christ in baptism and putting away the old sinful self, according to Ephesians 4:22. One must do this because everyone sins, according to Romans 3:23. Three chapters later in Romans 6:23, we see why sins are so judgmental. Paul writes, "The wages of sin is death." In order to avoid the consequences of sin, God gives man the means to salvation. He commands us to believe in the gospel, repent of our sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. All of this can be found in verses such as Acts 22:16, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, Romans 10:10, and more throughout the New Testament. We are also commanded to remain faithful, a fact that I'll go over later in this lesson. Now, as a cautionary reminder, do not mistake our decision to obey God's law as us saving ourselves by our own power and actions. We cannot save ourselves. We don't have that ability. In order for us to have that chance to decide our salvation, two things had to happen. First, God had to give us his grace, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And second, Jesus had to be crucified as our perfect sinless Savior, according to Romans 5, 8. Our salvation is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God, given to us that we can live in heaven with him for eternity. After we have followed the steps of salvation and have become part of the Lord's church, our work still continues. As Christians, we have the responsibility to remain faithful to God, as it says in Revelation 2:10. We must also be diligent in our walk with him, according to 1 John 1:7. We must keep studying the scriptures, and we must teach others about the good news of the gospel. In Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, it reads, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do good for his good pleasure." This verse correlates well with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Both of these passages show that we must keep working after we have already been baptized. Unfortunately, no one is perfect, not even Christians. We're still human too. Thankfully, God knows this, and he understands about our morality. In Acts 8:22, we see how God gives Christians a way to be saved after we've already been baptized. We are commanded to repent and to pray to God for forgiveness, like Philip tells Simon to do in Acts 8. God gives us everything we need to follow and obey him. All he is that we choose salvation and remain faithful to him. Now, why does this matter? Why should we care about salvation in the long run? What's the benefit of it? Both Christians and non-Christians should consider the importance of salvation because it ultimately decides where they will spend eternity. On Judgment Day, every man will be adjudged according to his works, as it is stated in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Revelation 20:12. Only those who have chosen to follow the plan of salvation and continue to be faithful in their thoughts and actions for the Lord will be allowed into heaven. Revelation 2:10 and Revelation 14:13 both tell the rewards we will receive when we are in heaven. God loves us, and he has given us the greatest gift, a chance to be in heaven with him for eternity. I hope that all of us will take this opportunity to take part in our own salvation, both as Christians and as non-Christians.